A partnership is where two or more individuals work together in a business with a view to making a profit. The straight definition is within Partnership Act 1890, which defines a partnership as a relation which exists between persons carrying on a business in common with a view to profit. So the individuals must be carrying on a business together with a common view of profit. One of the individuals does not employ the other. These individuals are working together, and if the business does well, they will share profits. And if the business does poorly, they will share losses. It is important to realize that joint ownership is not sufficient to create a partnership. You must actually be carrying on a business in common with a view to profit. Partnerships ideally should have a partnership agreement. Not all partnerships do, but that is far from ideal. The partnership agreement should lay out the partners' understanding of how the partnership should be governed. Points to include in an agreement, and these are by no means exhaustive, would be how the profits and losses of the partnership are going to be shared. They could be equally shared. They could be 60-40, for example. It is whatever they decide. There will be rules on admitting a new partner to the partnership. Alfred and Frieda could set up the partnership, and they may decide to take in somebody else further down the line. The partnership agreement should address how this is to be accommodated. The partnership agreement should also address the retirement of a partner. This may include notice periods, or some partnerships even have compulsory retirement when you reach a certain age. There may also be detailed calculations of goodwill payments for the retiring partner. The agreement will also cover the conduct of partners, the ownership of assets which are not always owned equally between the partners. Some more senior partners may have a greater share in, say, the property. And also the agreement should cater for the resolution of disputes. The partnership agreement should obviously be drawn up at the commencement of a partnership and will detail the partners' understanding of how they see the partnership working. When partnerships commence, it is normally on good terms, and therefore this is an ideal opportunity to agree and sign the partnership agreement. As the partnerships progress, relations between partners may deteriorate, and in these cases, the partnership agreement becomes vital. The partners will be bound by the agreement they signed on commencement. Having considered the partnership agreement, let us now have a look at the different types of partner. Full partners are those who share in the profits and losses of the partnership and who play an active part in running the business. These are sometimes referred to as equity partners. If the partnership does well, these partners make a good living, but if it does poorly, then they will not. Salary partners, these are partners who, to the outside world, appear to be partners. They appear on the letterhead as a partner, but within the internal structure of the partnership, they are effectively a senior employee. They would normally have a fixed salary and will therefore not participate in the profit share of the partnership.
Likewise, if the partnership makes a loss, salary partners will not bear any of the loss. They are paid a fixed salary. And as a fixed salary, this will be taxed as employment income for the individual.
Salary partners are effectively a cost for the equity partners. In practice, a salary partnership is normally a stepping stone for senior managers to obtain equity status. They become a salary partner first, and then prove themselves or serve their time as a salary partner, and then at some point they may be invited to become an equity partner in the practice. You also have sleeping partners. These are partners who share the profits and losses of the partnership, but play no part in the running of the business. Limited partners. These play no part in the running of the business, but they do share in the profits and losses. One peculiar point about limited partners is that should the partnership make a loss, the limited partner's share is restricted to the capital he or she introduced to the business. They effectively have limited their exposure to losses. You also have corporate partners, who are effectively partners who are a corporate body. It is quite common to have a limited company as a partner for various tax planning possibilities. So there we have it. We have various different types of partner, but the most important in practice would be full partners and salary partners. The full partners are the equity partners. They share in profits and losses. Salary partners are simply employees of the full partners, albeit very senior employees.
Full partners are taxed as self-employed individuals. Salary partners are taxed as employees. Salary partners do not participate in the profit share of the practice. They are paid a fixed salary.
Let us now look at the tax treatment of partners, and for this purpose, we are simply considering full equity partners. Salary partners would not affect this position at all.
The first step is to adjust the accounting profit to arrive at the taxable trading profit.
The partnership in this example has accounts for the year ended 31st of March 2011. The accounts show a profit of £110,000. Initially, we must adjust this accounting profit for any trading income adjustments, capital allowances, etc., to get down to taxable profits. Let us assume that we have trading income adjustments of £10,000 relating to expenses which are not allowable for tax. This would increase the accounting profit to £120,000. These adjustments might be for depreciation or entertaining, for example. We must then deduct capital allowances. Here we have £5,000 worth of capital allowances, which would reduce the £120,000 profit to £115,000. This £115,000 is the tax-adjusted profits.
They are the tax-adjusted profits for the year ended 31st of March 2011, i.e. the year the accounts are made up to. Our next stage is to allocate the adjusted profits to the partners. The partners may allocate the profits of the practice in whatever proportions they agree. Let us assume that for the year ended 31st of March 2011, A, B and C agree to share profits £40,000 to A, £45,000 to B and £30,000 to C. Remember, this is an allocation based on the accounting period. It has nothing whatsoever to do with the tax year. Once allocated, these profit shares would be shown on the partnership tax return for 2010-11. The accounting year 31st of March 2011 falls in 2010-11 under the current year basis. Hence, a partnership return is required for 2010-11. Once the allocation and partnership return are completed, we then need to refer to the individual partners' self-assessment returns. Partners A, B and C need to prepare individual self-assessment returns for 2010-11. The profits they need to declare on their individual returns should be identical to those recorded on the partnership return. So, Partner A has £40,000 in his 2010-11 self-assessment return, and he will show this as profits earned for the year ended 31st of March 2011. A similar process will apply to partners B and C.
B must show £45,000 on his self-assessment return, and C must show £30,000 on his self-assessment return. It is then the individuals who must pay tax based on the profits recorded on their self-assessment returns. The partnership as such does not have a tax liability. The partnership simply records the individual partners' profits, and then the individual partners would settle their own taxes based on their own self-assessment return.
Let us look at an illustration. Albert, Billy and Claire are in partnership, sharing profits equally. The partnership profits for the year ended 31st of December 2010 are £160,000.
The accounts include depreciation of £10,000 and customer entertaining of £5,000. We know these are not allowable for tax purposes, so these will have to be added back in our computations. The tax written down value of the general pool at the start of the period was £42,500. The first step always in partnership computations is to adjust the accounting profit. That is to adjust the accounting profit for tax purposes. We therefore start with profits per the accounts, and we then add back depreciation of £10,000 and entertaining of £5,000. These are expenses in the accounts which are not allowable for tax purposes. Therefore, we need to add them back. We then deduct capital allowances for the year. The written down value brought forward is £42,500 times 20%, giving a deduction of £8,500 and adjusted profits of £166,500. There is no difference here to the adjustments that we would make in the sole trader's tax computation. Once we have adjusted profits, we then move on to step two, the allocation. We allocate profits for the accounting year based on the profit sharing ratio that the partners will have previously agreed.
The partners agree to share profits equally, so each partner will have a taxable profit share of £55,500. So on the partnership return, The profit allocation will be shown as £55,500 to each of Albert, Billy and Claire. The final step is looking at the individual partner's self-assessment returns. If we just consider Albert, he is being shown on the partnership return as entitled to profits of £55,500 for the year ended 31st of December 2010. Under the current year basis, this year falls in the tax year 2010-11. Therefore, on Albert's self-assessment return for 2010-11, he records £55,500 as his partnership profit. This is then treated as trading income and taxed in the normal way. So to summarise, there are three steps in preparing partnership computations. We adjust the accounts to arrive at tax-adjusted profits after capital allowances. We then allocate the profits between the partners using the agreed profit-sharing ratios for the period. Finally, we deal with the individual partners as though they were separate sole traders. We simply take their profit allocation and tax the profits using the current year basis. That concludes this first session on an introduction to partnerships.